You make this rather snappy, won't you? I have some very heavy thinking to do before 10 o'clock.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Get It Right Texoma with the Texoma Trio right here. Mike Hendren, Terry McAdams, Trey Sarala. Glad to have you back with us once again. Thank you for joining us for this podcast. And, of course, you can, you know, get us every week on, you know, YouTube and Spotify and Apple Podcasts and other places that we live out there. There may be some dark corners I'm not even familiar with yet that we're hiding out in somewhere.
On the dark web or something.
In the dark web, yeah.
And just to kind of clarify, we're going to be doing an audio version of this. It'll be on all the podcast platforms, and then you'll catch the video part if you want to go do that on YouTube. Right. I think we're going to get it on Facebook, and I was actually exploring Rumble.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Find out what's involved in getting that.
Rumble,
but, you know, we'll see how that goes logistically.
I've always liked the sound of that rumble.
I was going to say, do we have to slap fight if we do that? I think that's the Dana White slap fight is on. Are you required to slap the shit out of each other to be on Rumble?
We're going to Rumble!
Have you guys watched those videos, those slap fight videos?
I've actually watched some of that. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. It's combat sports at its purest. The way I look at this is I'm a big combat sports person. And when I say combat sports, I'm not talking about street fights and people jumping each other and beating the hell out of each other for no reason. I don't like that. No. But when you have two people who've agreed to go into a combat situation under a certain set of rules with a referee to make sure that those rules are imposed, and if they want to beat the living hell out of each other under those parameters, and everybody knows, I have no problem with that because it's all known. I don't like when somebody's overmatched. I don't like it when you have somebody who could just beat the living crap out of somebody who has no chance. I'm not into that. But when you have regulations and rules and everybody's on the understanding when they go in, no problem with it.
Well, when Billie Jean King beat Bobby Riggs.
What a farce that was.
A lot of you younger folks may not know what the hell we're talking about. Yeah. But
That's been about 50 years ago. That's been a while.
When I was a kid.
You can check me on this, I believe it was Vitas Gerulaitis, one of the top men's stars at the time, because that made huge news that a female player beat a male player. Yeah. Let's be fair, though. And Billie Jean King was a great player. Let's don't get me wrong. She beat any of us. I mean, she beat most people.
Yeah.
But Billie Jean King was in her prime, and Bobby Riggs was about 20 years past his prime.
Yeah,
and they made a big deal about it, and it really was felt one of the major men's players was insulted, and I believe I want to say $100,000, which $100,000 is a lot of money
in those days. Yeah,
and I believe he went out there and said, "I will put up a bet if anybody will take it, whoever the number 100th ranked man in the world right now in tennis will play Billie Jean King." And whoever, and if she beats him, I'll give you $100,000 or whatever it was, and nobody took him up on it.
Yeah,
because there's nothing wrong with it. It's a disparity. This is why we don't want biological men playing in women's sports. It's bullshit. It's unfair to women.
It is.
Yep.
Okay, and there's some sports. I mean, probably pickleball, or there may be some things that it doesn't matter, but high-level tennis, track and field.
Right.
Combat sports are damn sure I don't want to see any of that.
No,
you know,
no.
That sort of thing. There's a lot of things that it doesn't matter. You know, there are times that a woman will play in a man's sport, like, for instance, a dominant male sport. Like, for instance, sometimes in high school you'll have a female who plays on the boys' football team.
Yeah.
That's okay because she's moving to this area. She's going to a place where she's not going to be inherently dominant makeup, her biological makeup. Whereas when you have a biological male that goes to a woman's sport and they're inherently dominant because of their biological makeup, it's bullshit. And if you believe in women, if you believe in women's rights and you consider yourself a feminist or whatever, you ought to be categorically opposed to that happening.
Should. Yeah.
All right. Sorry for the diversion there.
We're going to talk about local.
Yeah, but I will be totally honest, though. As far as tennis goes, right now, a sixth grader could beat me.
Yeah, oh yeah. A good sixth grader.
A good sixth grader could take me out easily.
Yeah.
No question about that. So anyway.
Well, we're going to get on tangents, but this is we're going to try to focus more on local and regional type issues and things like that. So,
right. Well, what's really important here is campfire candy is on sale.
That's huge.
And that is huge. And that's part of why I am huge, is because I like campfire candy. Don't we all?
Yeah.
That stuff is amazing.
That's a good selling point or not. Well, okay.
Okay. I'm not as huge as I used to be in more ways than one. But anyway, I love campfire candy. Not to mention it raises money for a terrific cause.
Yes. Campfire North Texas here in Wichita Falls.
Yeah.
And in the surrounding area, it's not just it's based in Wichita Falls, but there's kids from all over that benefit from it. There's a lot of ways to buy campfire candy. For us, you can just kind of walk around and see a campfire kid selling candy.
Exactly.
I mean, that's probably the hardest way to do it. But you can also go on their website and you can order online. Yeah. I believe they'll do some delivery. You can order to pick up. You can order. They have it for sale there at the campfire office. It's a corner of
9th
and Fillmore.
Fillmore?
Fillmore.
Fillmore, I think it is.
Yeah, it's right up the hill from Fillmore Hill.
And downtown Wichita Falls.
Well, it's not really downtown.
Oh,
that's true. Nice. Kind of the western edge of downtown.
Yeah. Oh, is it the, out, okay.
Yeah,
it's out over
between
by the
Kempin.
Timbers Apartments.
Kind of uptown.
Yeah, it's between Kempin. It's on Fillmore, Kemp, and then Fillmore runs parallel to Kemp.
Okay.
And it's where 9th Street meets Fillmore, and that's where the campfire office is.
But you'll find these kids, they'll be selling candy around town and places. And you can't walk by one of these children selling candy and say no. Because if you do, that means you're heartless and cold.
Right.
So you shouldn't do that. And I'm not heartless and cold. And who am I to tell them no?
It's just a teddy bear.
Well, it is a very important. It's a huge part of their fundraising. You know, all of their all the money that Campfire North Texas receives is private donations.
That's
or
right. That's
fundraisers.
Right.
They don't receive government funds or anything like that.
Yep.
So it's a great cause. I mean, you're talking about taking kids. There's a lot of focus on leadership in Campfire, which I think is big. You're taking kids that maybe don't have anybody. It's open to anybody, but it tends to be a lot of the kids that go to Campfire are kids that maybe don't have a lot of parental support or their parents work after school and that sort of thing. I don't mean that in a pejorative way, parental support, but there's not necessarily somebody at home that's at home all the time.
Picking
them up after school. So here they have an opportunity for a very nominal fee to be picked up from the school, taken out to the campfire Harold Park Campfire Camp. Part of the year they can get to go swimming, but they learn a lot of life skills. They work on homework. They get to play some and a lot of interpersonal skills. And then they have a safe place. They feed them a meal, and then they take them home. So it's really a great deal, but it only goes or only exists because of support.
Right. Let's talk a little bit about voting here. Early voting is coming up here in just a few days.
Next week, isn't it?
Yep. On February 20th, it'll start. Early voting goes through March 1. And then we have the Super Tuesday primary that happens on March 5. And, Texas and a number of other states all, and that's why it's called Super Tuesday, because so many states have their primaries on the same day. But March 5th is the primary election. Now, if you've not already...
Yeah, if it was just a few states, it'd just be called Pretty Good Tuesday instead of Super.
Yeah, or Mediocre Tuesday.
But since Texas is involved, it automatically makes it Super.
Exactly.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
We're as big as like 7 states.
There you go.
And we're going to stay that way, just so you know. But, of course, Super Tuesday on March 5th. Now, if you haven't already registered to vote for this election cycle, you're too late. That deadline has passed. So those of you that are, unless you're a Democrat in California.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Or
if you're in Louisiana, you can vote multiple times.
Register.
A dead person in Louisiana, you can keep voting.
Washington, D.C.
Vote early and often.
I
think I only registered like one time since, because I did it, I guess, motor voter or whatever, one time when I got here way, way back in 1995. And since then, I don't recall ever actually I must have done something in Clay County.
You don't. Yeah, you don't have to register but once, and then you're registered.
Oh, I know. It's like I don't.
Your registration just continues.
Yeah. So, but when you become 18, I guess that's when we got
to
get them.
One thing you absolutely want to make sure you do, because I've had it happen to me where I get someone else's voter registration card in my mailbox.
Yeah,
and somebody who lived in my house, you know, 15 years ago.
Oh, right. No, it's usually my neighbors.
Before I ever bought it.
Because it's stuck together on the...
Yeah, but I'll get someone that, you know, hasn't lived in that location in you know, a decade or more. And then you got to call them up, tell them, hey, you sent me this card, this person doesn't live anymore. If you move, just make sure, yes, you do the... You know, you do the change of address thing with the post office, right. But make sure you pick up the phone and call your county clerk's office and let them know. Make sure that they know, so that your next voter registration card gets to you on time. In Texas, you don't even have to have the voter registration card with you to vote.
But you have to have an ID.
You have to have an ID, but you don't have to have the voter registration.
Such a racist thing. Wait, by the way, is how insanely racist is it to say that it's racist to have an ID? Because what you're insinuating is there are certain people, and it's always, by the way, the idiots that say that it's racist, they're always talking about, they say it's racist towards brown people. As far as I'm concerned, you're being racist if you say that they're not, that people that who happen to be because of the color of their skin, they're black or they're brown or whatever, can't get an ID.
Can't get an ID, yeah.
That's ridiculous. It is so ridiculous, and it's the height of racism to act like people who are Hispanic or black or whatever are less than.
Well,
they're human beings. They're intelligent human beings who can do are just as capable as you are. They don't need upper middle class whitey to lord over them and tell them how needy they are. That is so ridiculous and it's so insulting. And why black people and Hispanic people are not so more insulted than they are. I would be so insulted if I had somebody who thought that I needed help because of the color of my skin.
You know,
ridiculous.
It's been pointed out several times, and it bears pointing out again. It's a control mechanism, is what it is.
Sure, it is.
When you tell people that, say, well, you're at a disadvantage as far as getting an ID because of your color, that's a control mechanism. You want people to continually believe that they are helpless unless the government is there to help them. You want them to continue. Does people not see the racism inherently in that?
I'm telling you, white people are the biggest problem in this country when it comes to this sort of stuff. I hate to say it, but it is true. Yeah. White people, and it's usually liberal white people, by the way, not conservative white people, because conservative white people tend to go, oh, okay, well, that person's black. They're just as capable as me. They just have a different skin color.
Right.
Yeah. They, you know, whereas it's these liberal, ultra-liberal, and leftist white people who think they need to speak for everybody else. And it's like, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. People can speak for themselves.
Yeah, I saw this video just last night that was, I don't know who the people were, but it was clearly somebody who was very left-leaning, and then another person who seemed to be reasonable. And so he was talking to this lady, and she was saying that the United States is you know, just not the best place in the world to live. And he's saying, yes, it is. And he asked her, well, where would you say is better? And they said, well, in European countries. And so he starts to go, well, okay, so it's not Russia. No, because, you know, communist. Yeah. And it's not some of the other, well, I can't even think what other. Anyway, several other. Oh, not Turkey and, you know, some of the Middle Eastern type countries. And so then she goes, no. So the rest of Europe then is pretty much all white. And so, you know, they're all better and they're all a bunch of, and that isn't the white person the bad, you know, we're the bad guy.
Which is a farce, by the way. Because let me tell you
they're more white.
I have insight to England. When COVID, you think COVID was bullshit over here?
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Yeah. England was worse than California.
Yeah.
My in-laws in England, my family in England, I would hear from them and they would say, they let us. They use those words. They let us.
Yeah.
How oppressed are you as a citizen of a country when you feel like the government letting you walk outside your door?
Yeah.
You could not leave your county in England. You had to have express permission to leave the county you lived in.
Nope.
I'm telling you.
That's insane.
It was so locked down over there.
That's insane.
It was crazy. And you would hear those things. Oh, yeah. They let us do this. They let us go outside. They let us, like, you're a human being in a country that's supposed to be a free country. Are you kidding me?
Let's be thankful that we do live here, as many of problems that we have.
Oh, my God.
We are still place. Right. Even up north, just north of us, Canada, you know, have you, Peterson,
Jordan Peterson
well, that's been having his issues of free speech.
And again, I'll say to people, because there, you know, there is a lot of fear with this being a presidential election year, that they're going to try to pull something again like they did in 2020 on us. People, especially you business owners out there watching or listening, the next time they tell you to shut your doors and go home, tell them to go to hell.
Yeah, absolutely. Go to hell. Just going to do it.
Just tell them you're not going to do it. You're not going to play this game again. They train wrecked the world economy. It wasn't just the United States government. It was world governments. They train wrecked an economy. We are, in part, it's not the only reason, but in part, the reason economically we are where we are now is because of the actions they took in 2020. I read this morning that Japan fell into recession at the end of last year. Mm-hmm. At two back-to-back quarters economic or, you know, negative, I guess basically negative or declining GDP. And they are now in a recession. Germany has now been elevated to the third largest economy in the world because of that.
Wow.
Japan has now fallen to fourth place.
And look, let me tell you something. History has shown us Germany doesn't obviously need to be an economic power.
No,
they don't have a great track record last century.
Well, I do think that the culture in Germany today would wholeheartedly reject, and I would hope would reject, and passionately reject anything resembling what they had in 1939.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying.
I know.
They did it twice.
They did it twice. Well, yeah. World War One.
They started twice.
World War One was supposed to be the war to end all wars.
Yeah,
that was supposed to leave us with a perpetual peace.
That's why it wasn't called World War One until after World War Two.
That's right.
It was called the Great War.
The Great War. And it was supposed to leave us with this perpetual peace, and it didn't happen. You know, 22 years, you know, later, we're right back in the same thing again. Hitler says, you know, oh, just give me Poland. Just give me Poland, and we'll be fine. You know, that worked out great. So, you know, yeah, but
and I'm the Czechs are over there going, this is bullshit.
I really believe that the world, at least after World War II, you know, it, 4.5 years and 65 million lives later, maybe we learned something from that.
And untold trillions of dollars in damage. I mean, you can't even calculate how much damage was done, not only psychologically and physically, but as far as just property damage.
Yep.
I mean, so many places were completely bombed out.
Yeah, yeah.
And it put countries in recession, deep recessions for a long time.
It did. Had it not been
for the United States, Japan, I don't know that Japan would ever have recovered. Had it not been for the United States.
Well, of course, we dropped them, had to rebuild them. As a country, though, we haven't just gone in and damaged everything, you know, killed whatever, and then, you know, in an effort to defend, to create a, you know, stop the madness. And then we've always gone back, or most time, I guess, gone back and actually rebuilt.
I don't know the time that we haven't.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
by the way, when you talk about the bombs, you know, that were dropped on Japan, that was terrifying, and that was one of those things. But you need to understand the people. History, I think, has proven that stopped a lot of American deaths because it was the only way to stop Japan. Because Japan at the time was willing to send their citizens in to be killed.
Yeah,
and it was either we were going to invade Japan. I mean, I don't know if it's true, but I've heard that there's islands that have tanks and jeeps and all sorts of stuff that are just sitting there in the South Pacific because the United States just left it because it wasn't worth bringing back.
Yeah, yeah.
And because we were ready to invade Japan, and when you start invading a country, you're going to kill lots of civilians and everybody else that becomes casualties.
Well, I have read that the conservative estimates on our side were that within the first 30 or 45 days of a land invasion of mainland Japan, we would lose 100,000 people.
Yeah. Wow. And no telling how many we're gonna, of them they would right. die. It'd be a lot more than 100,000.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But we would lose, I think it was 100,000 is the number I've seen.
100,000 of our troops?
100,000 yes. Allied troops. You know, yeah. That would be American, European, you know, all of, you know, Australian, all of our allies that were in it with us. We would lose 100,000, and within a very short period of time, because they knew how fierce the fighting would be.
Yeah, it would be crazy. You'd have citizens and everything else fighting.
Yeah, yeah.
Real quickly, before we get off the voting, or I know we got off on a tangent, which, by the way, that's going to happen. But I think that's kind of the magic of the podcast here.
It is.
You did mention the local county. Committee or voting office. Mm-hmm. Be sure to check out if you have questions. There's a lot of information at your local county voting office, that's whether right. it's Clay County, Archer County, or Wichita County, right here in the Tri-County area.
Yeah.
A lot of times you'll have sample ballots, so you can look before you go to see who's on the ballot. Gives you time to do some research, and a lot of times you'll have candidate information. And now this is information the candidates provided. It's not that. Val over at Clay County decides who she likes and is going to lay this information out. It's all whatever. I believe it's what the candidate provides or information they've gotten from a third party or something like that. So it's not biased information, but it's a good idea to check out what's going on and see if you can make an educated guess. Because the one thing you need to do, I know I've heard this adage of, it doesn't matter, just go vote, just go vote. Well, I don't necessarily agree with that. I am of, just go vote even if you disagree with me. Mm-hmm. I'm good with that.
Sure.
But I don't want you to just go vote if you don't know what you're doing. Right. If you have no clue.
Be an educated voter.
And you're not educated all on it, please don't vote, because I don't want you to cancel an educated vote out.
Be an informed voter.
But you have the right.
Like, you have the right to.
Right? Yeah. You have the right to be an idiot. You have a right to do stupid things.
But I just ask that at least educate yourself a little bit. Don't go vote for somebody because somebody told you to do it.
Whatever county you're in, wherever you are, just go. You can search it in Google or whatever. You know, your county voting information 2024, and it'll take you, if you do that here, for example. Wichita County TX.com is the website for Wichita County. And if you go to their election page, it gives you current election information, results, sample ballots, as Trey just said, election notices, voter registration information. It's all right there, and they've got it pretty neatly laid out. And it'll tell you exactly, you know, when the voting dates are and so forth and where you can go to vote. You know, and now, I mean, we used to do it by precincts. We would have precinct polling locations. Mm-hmm. We do it a little differently in Wichita County now. We have, you know, we'll have four or five locations in Wichita Falls where you can go vote, but it doesn't matter what precinct you're in. You can go vote in any one of those in the city.
Which I like that, by the way. I prefer that because you have people, especially in like Wichita Falls, it's a big enough county, but you have people who maybe live on one end of the county, but they work on the other end of the county.
Yeah, right.
And I think what you're trying to do is discourage people. You're not discouraging people intentionally, but you're making it harder for people to go vote.
Yeah.
I'm one of those deals. I believe you ought to make it as easy for people to vote as long as it's reasonable.
What about in person versus?
That's what I'm saying. As long as it's reasonable. I believe that the in person should be, this mail-in thing, you ought to have to prove that you're indigent or that you're in the military and gone. Right. Not just that you're in the military, but you're in the military and you're gone. And like Mike Hendren has said a million times, and I totally agree with him, if your vote is not in the day the polls close, it doesn't count.
Right.
Period. And I don't care if you say that you're in the U.S. military and you're in the darks of Africa. Trust me, I respect everybody that's there, but you knew that voting time was going to be then.
Right.
At some point, we have to call it.
Well, the military goes out of their way to make sure that you can vote.
Ahead of time. They
give you briefings and everything.
It's not like voting comes up and you don't know what it's going to be. The date is set more than a year in advance.
Well, we had this problem in 2020 where you had votes that were coming in a week later. And getting counted. No. No. Now, if I'm at my polling location and my polling location closes at 7 p.m. and I'm standing there at 7:01 trying to walk in the door, they're not going to let me, or they shouldn't allow me to vote.
No, uh-uh.
If I know what time the polls close, and the polls are open for 12 straight hours here, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. If I can't find time on election day to get 10 minutes out of my day to get to the polling location, especially now that we have the flexibility in polling locations, if I can't get there before 7 p.m. with a 12-hour window to do it, too bad on me. I guess I missed out. And that's how it ought to be with the mail-in ballots. If that mail-in ballot is not there, validated, and ready before those polls close, it should go right in the round file every single time. And I don't care who you are.
Yeah, I totally agree.
I don't care.
Well, because once you said it, the same thing is you can't go beat on the door. Now, if you're in line and they lock the door behind you, you get to vote.
Yeah.
But if you're not in line, you can't go beat on the door 5 minutes late
right.
and say, little pig, let me in. Because they're going to tell you not by the hair of my chin, chin, chin. Uh-uh.
There you go. Speaking of elections and elected officials, Representative James Frank's got some town halls coming up. And these are important to attend.
And one is it next week? I'm just looking at my calendar here. One of them's the 22nd.
Yeah.
Now, and I only put the ones. He has some town halls that are going on now in other counties.
Yes.
Now that we're not broadcast, now that it's actually podcast, some of these counties may hear us. But so next Thursday is the 22nd.
Right.
So anyhow, that's where he's going to be in Burke and in Electra.
On the 22nd, at the Grove in Burt Burnett, which is there on Avenue D. He'll be 10 a.m. at the Grove, 1:30 at Electra Hospital, 4 p.m. at Archer at the Archer City Community Center. So he's going to have a busy day on the
22nd. Yeah, it's a full day.
So President Biden, the Super Bowl interview that wasn't.
Yes. Wow.
There was some kind of snack video that came out.
Yeah, he did a video. By the way, he did two videos. He did one that was on TikTok and that ran around that time. Yes. By the way, yes, the guy who signed into law that you can't use TikTok on the government computers
is on TikTok.
Yeah, he's on TikTok. Of course, it was one of those. Well, the campaign did that. But you did it while you were on the clock, Mr. President, because if you're a president, you're always on the clock, right?
Yes.
But either way, the video was so weird. It was like him sitting in a theater. And I imagine there's probably a theater room in the White House. He's sitting in there, and he's looking at the camera. And the other crazy thing about it is, guys, this thing is so heavily edited. Uh-huh. It's cut from all these different shots. You could tell it's not a one camera, one take. It wasn't like the old Pierce Sales commercials where they threw a camera out there. Otherwise, it would have turned in looking like one of those. But he sits there and talks about how snacks and it's shrinkflation. And I don't do a good Biden. I'm not going to try to. But, he's so upset about the companies that are just, it's a ripoff to the American public because they're charging you the same price, but they're making the size of everything smaller. And then he mentions ice cream. Okay. I understand when you're talking about the chips, because I do think that people get the size, like the chip, the bag of chips. It seems like there's more air than there used to be in a bag of chips and fewer chips in it.
Uh-huh.
But the size of ice cream, when it says pint, it's still a pint. So the ice cream is like the worst example. He was making a point about how ice cream is part of shrinkflation, but I don't believe that that's possible because a pint is a pint.
Yeah.
And but he talks about how it's a ripoff and shrinkflation and it's bad for the American public. So he's basically criticizing the snack companies on the biggest snack day of the year for the country.
And then
he makes a bad example with a pint of ice cream.
I do not. They keep trying to spin his cognitive capacity,
trying to
normalize it. This is becoming, we're past embarrassing now.
Oh, yeah. It's not funny.
It's not funny anymore. No, it's not funny. We are way past embarrassing. Now we're steeping into tragic. We really are. We're just getting into tragic mode now with this guy. And I keep telling people, y'all, you better buckle in tight, because 24 is going to be a ride, man. We get to that Democratic National Convention in August. They are going to put somebody else in his place.
They almost have to.
It's we're this close to
that light come on too. Yeah,
we're this close.
We should have light come on here.
Oh, oh yeah, the lights. Yeah. Yeah, a light came on.
Yeah, yes. You need one of those above your head. Like, oh, I have an idea.
It's an alien, man. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, we are this close to they have no choice now, and I think by the time we get into the summer, we're there.
And it can't be Googlebox. They don't want Gigglebox in there.
No.
Yeah, it's gonna be crazy. And do we want Gigglebox?
No. I'd much rather have a very diminished Joe Biden right now than would Gigglebox. Yeah. So tell him what she's going to do. At least Joe Biden probably sleeps about half the day or whatever.
Probably.
Yeah, she's got a lot of energy.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. But you think?
How much of the time is she sober, though? There's a lot of people that are saying a lot of her issues are alcohol. And I don't know. I don't know that for a fact, but I've heard a lot of people on the inside. That's a Nancy. I mean, you could tell that Nancy Pelosi's a drunk. Yeah. She's like a clear alcohol drunk. But as far as Kamala Harris, I don't know, but I've heard a lot. I've heard a lot of people on the inside that say that she drinks quite a bit.
Well, I don't know what. Here's what I know. Right now, she's number two.
Yeah.
If Joe Biden, if something, God forbid, something tragic happens today, she's in charge.
She will be the president.
Yeah. But scary stuff. And what's even scarier, I think, is that the chance she's not running. She's, in theory, they could put her in, but they're not going to probably put her in.
Yeah.
And, as a candidate. Right. She'll be, and think about what she'll do. She could do anything. And short of, you know, some sort of impeachable offense, then she can do anything and she'll probably be an activist.
Yeah, Gerald Ford's the only president of the United States who's ever been elected.
Right.
He became president when Nixon resigned, and then he lost the election.
Right. Yeah. Right. He was vice president. He was Speaker of the House.
Yes.
And then became vice president, and then right.
Well, I guess we better wrap this one up. We will have another episode of this podcast coming up very soon, so be looking for that. Again, you can find us on YouTube. You'll find the audio versions on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and other places as well. So please be sure and like and share. Tell your friends. Tell everybody you know.
And provide some feedback.
Some feedback would be great. We'd love to hear from you as well. And you can do that on Facebook, of course, and other places
as
well.
This is what Get It Right.
Get It Right, Texoma.
Get It Right, Texoma.
With the Texoma Trio. I'm Mike Hendren. This is Terry McAdams. That's Trey Serrala. We will see you next time. Do take care.